Welcome to Words of the Prophets podcast. My name is Todd. I'm here with my daughter, Leah, and my friend, Rivka. And this is a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How are you today, Leah?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Any fun music things happened to you this week?
Well, I just got an email a couple days ago saying that I was accepted into the music composition program here at BYU, so that was super awesome.
Yay!
Congratulations!
Thank you.
And what was the funny twist about hearing that acceptance?
So, about a month ago, I got an email from the School of Music saying, unfortunately, we're rejecting you from the program, and I, around the same time, one of my friends got their admissions decision as well, so I assumed that, you know, that was what it was. And then a couple days ago, I got an email from the composition faculty, so not the School of Music, and they were like, hey, you're in the program now, and I was like, what? I thought I was rejected like a month ago, and it turns out there was a glitch in the system or something. I don't really know exactly what happened, but he says that it's happened to a couple of other people.
Oh, no.
So that original rejection wasn't supposed to be sent out then. And I got an email from the School of Music yesterday with the actual acceptance into the School of Music as well. So I had been spending the last month like accepting the fact that I wasn't in the music program, and then I was on a trip with some friends, and in the car I got an email, and I was just like, what? It's so weird. Oh, but I think
that
it
is
was
a terrible glitch.
I think it actually helped a little, and there was some things that I did and were associated with that that I think was probably intentional on God's part and to help me work through some stuff, I guess. So,
well, we're excited for you. We're proud of you. And it's been fun to be on your musical journey with you. And I've loved watching you enjoy performing, but especially as you've started as you've gotten into arranging and composing, it's been just a joy to watch. So looking forward to many more years of music in our lives.
For sure.
Well, Rivka, how are you?
Well, it's blue skies here in the Pacific Northwest, which in March is a dreamy gift. So it's the first blue skies I've seen in almost a week.
Wow.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I can imminently see the gray coming in. So I'm going to enjoy it for the, hour that we have this.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Blue skies are a gift, and Wisconsin has some terrible weather, but the spring and the fall, we have just a run of days that are like 55, 65, 70, blue skies, maybe a little bit cloudy, like partly cloudy, but still mostly blue and sunny. And those have to get you through the muggy summers and the just absolutely horrid winters, the memory of what was and what is to come. So
right, you pull out your photographs.
Wow.
Little picture book of blue skies.
Well, I'm glad you're having some good weather today. And today we are going to talk about angels. We're going to talk about the General Conference talk, I Believe in Angels, by Elder Carlos A. Godoy of the Presidency of the 70. Let's see, who picked this talk? I believe it was Aaliyah.
Yes.
So, Aaliyah, tell me, what were your general impressions from this talk?
Well, when I think of the term angels, I usually think angels like in heaven. And this whole talk was focused on angels on this side of the veil. And I think it was an interesting perspective to look at those around us as angels and to recognize that there are people around us who are doing God's work and who God is essentially using, like, their instruments in God's hands for us and for others. And it's been cool to kind of look around at the people around me and the people that I've been able to be around in my life and say, oh, they've been angels to me and to others. And so it was really cool.
Yeah, it was a great concept that he really focused on there, was talking about angels here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So when I taught Old Testament when I was a gospel doctrine teacher, I learned that angels, I think it was in Hebrew, had a more common meaning. Rivka, you're our linguist. Do you know what that is?
Hey.
I'm putting you on the spot.
what the Hebrew definition of angel is?
I think
is?
It was Hebrew, yeah.
I don't know.
It just means messenger. That's it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's hard to know in the scriptures, are we talking about in the Old Testament, you know, it was, is this a heavenly messenger or is this an earthly messenger? Sometimes you couldn't tell, but here he's really focusing on those earthly messengers, or I think the word Eliah used instruments is a better term. I know that neither of you have listened to the last episode quite yet. Brian filled in your shoes well, Rivka. He busted out some Greek and, yeah, you know, was giving some definitions. Well, Rivka, what were your general impressions as you read through this?
Well, he immediately quotes from Elder Holland's talk, The Ministry of Angels, and it's one of my all-time favorites. So, you know, if you haven't listened to that recently, you should go back and listen to it. It's fantastic. He also does another talk called The Tongue of Angels that is another really good one that kind of goes off into words and the way that we speak. I love this. I love that he started out the talk, brothers and sisters, I believe in angels. Like, just this.
Yeah.
You know, just firm statement of belief. And I think I loved it, one, because I love the firmness of it, and two, because I also believe in angels. I don't know if it's I think it was something that I was born with, a spiritual gift for feeling the presence of ministering angels around me. I have my whole life. And so for me, this talk was just very dear to my heart because I too believe in angels, because I've spent so much time in their presence. And I'm talking about ones from the other side, but also if for anyone who's listening, who knows my mother, she is one of these people who is just an angel, you know, immortal covering, who does this thing. So I've also been in the presence of that, but angels is a topic that I love. So my overarching feeling for this talk was just sort of a heart full of yes. That was my overarching feeling.
That's fantastic. Sometimes I wish in our church culture that we had a little bit more of the, you know, jump up and shout hallelujah going on. I've definitely heard talks where I wanted to just like jump up at the end and, you know, clap or say
amen,
something.
And yes,
exactly.
Yes.
I'm always quoting the part in Alma where they go to the waters of Mormon and after they get baptized, they clap. And I'm like, see, this is what we should be doing. Yes.
I love it.
So Aaliyah, can you share a quote with us that stuck out to you?
Yeah. So near the beginning, like Rivka said, he quotes Elder Holland, and in the quote it says, "Indeed, heaven never seems closer than when we see the love of God manifested in the kindness and devotion of people so good and so pure that angelic is the only word that comes to mind." Mm-hmm. And so this was one of those perspective shifting ideas for me. And as I was thinking, one example of someone, or like some people, who are so good and so pure, the angelic is the only word. I could come up with a couple, and there's one particular couple in our stake who we've been family friends with their family for, like, I'm pretty sure before I was born, could be wrong. and they are amazing, and we go to their house every year for New Year's, and we love hanging out with them, and they just make everyone feel so loved and so welcome and so important to them. And so like just everything they do is so selfless, I guess. But it seems so genuine and sincere. And they're just a really good example to me of what it means to be an angel on earth, I guess. So it was, I was just thinking of some people who that statement could apply to.
Yeah, that's so true. They have that special ability of making everybody feel like, you're the most important person to them, mm-hmm. even though you know that everybody else feels that way too. It still yeah. seems like you really are, like,
it's
you're the one. And to uplift you and help you want to be better without making you feel judged in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So currently, he is our stake president, and yeah, they're just a great couple. What a great example. So, Rivka, did you have any quotes that you noticed here or that stuck out to you?
One of them, so I guess another thing that I thought of as I was reading through this talk was how applicable this is to the ministering that we do. This really, the ministering, that higher, holier way of doing this, it is the work of angels on that side, on the other side of the veil, or on this side of the veil. And so one of the things that stuck out to me was, as he was talking about in the early years of his conversion, when he was the only member in his family, he talks about good friends making a difference. And he said, but not having the gospel taught in my home with a supportive family still put my ongoing conversion process at risk. And maybe because I have friends who are in this position, and probably some because of my current calling as the Young Women's President, that struck me, the significance of not having a home with a supportive family in the gospel. And he said it put him at risk. And it just, that made me pause for a minute to think about the people who I could probably be better at reaching out to, and thinking about them as being at risk. It just sort of really changed the way I viewed it, but it helped to clarify and put the gravitas on it, I guess, that probably needed to be there, that maybe there were some areas in my ministering work that needed to be treated with more seriousness than I have been treating them. So I appreciated that in the middle of it, him talking about the risk of not having supportive family in the gospel, or a gospel-centered home, because a lot of people do not live in gospel-centered homes and are trying their best to grow in the gospel. And that must be difficult. It's not something that I'm familiar with.
Right.
So it was helpful to have that pulled out to me so I could see it.
And so it's emphasizing to you the need to be one of those angels and to really provide that support wherever you can to others.
Yeah, just help with a little awareness. In the space at the end of the talk, I actually wrote down a journaling challenge for myself. One, have I seen any angels today? And then two, has the Lord put someone in my path who needs angelic help? Because I don't think there's any reason we can't pray for that, right? Help me to see
right.
the people who need the angelic help, and if I can be your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that's fantastic. I really love that. And I think about that a lot. It brings me back a little bit to Elder Lund's talk, or Brother Lund's talk about, or President Lund, I don't know what his title is. probably president, you know, just talking about the youth of today and their amazingness, and how we can, you know, you started out by saying in your calling as Young Women's President, how we can be angels to these youth. And even if they are in a gospel centered home, in some ways, you know, all of us are at risk. And I think especially the youth who are just bombarded constantly by the influence of the world. And, eventually, as you get older, and maybe Rivka and I both feel this way, or maybe not, but you sort of settle into a groove a little bit. But man, in those turbulent years of just trying to figure out who you are and what you believe,
yeah.
even in a gospel-centered home, I think we're all at risk in some way. And that brings me to one of my favorite quotes that he put out there as he was telling this story about him being a convert and being at risk and trying to work through all these things and work out his place. And he said he was going to send a message to those going through a similar process right now. Maybe you are a new convert or coming back to the church after wandering around for a while, or just someone struggling to fit in. Please, please do not give up on your efforts to be part of this big family. It is the true church of Jesus Christ. When it comes to your happiness and salvation, it is always worth the effort to keep trying. It is worth the effort to adjust your lifestyle and traditions. The Lord is aware of you. The Lord is aware of the challenges you face. He knows you. He loves you. And I promise he will send angels to help you. Just such a powerful testimony of just keep pushing forward. Just keep doing your best and keep working it out. And, you know, there is help and happiness ahead, as Elder Holland said. Aaliyah, what else about this talk really stuck out to you as you read?
Yeah, so right underneath the paragraph you just finished reading, it says, in his own words, the Savior said, I will go before your face. I will be on your right hand and on your left, and my spirit shall be in your heart, and mine angels round about you to bear you up. And I think that's such a cool promise from the Savior himself, directly from him, that he will be there helping us. I'm not entirely sure what the context of this scripture is. I should have checked that. I just barely recognized that. I probably should have looked that up. But I think it's just such a cool idea that we can be on the lookout for things that the Lord is doing to help us, and the angels that he's putting in our path, and the spirit that he's letting into our hearts. And that's a motivator for me to keep trying and to keep working at the gospel.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it reminds me of that quote from the talk by Elder Waddell about There Was Bread, where he, I think it was from Doctrine and Covenants, where it said, you know, the Lord will provide for his church or something like that. It's along those lines, just continued reassurances that the Lord is with us and there to guide us. Rivka, any other quotes that stuck out to you here?
Toward the end, he says, brothers and sisters, again, I believe in angels. And then he said, we're all here today, a giant army of angels set apart for these latter days. And I thought, a giant army of angels? That is the best army ever. I so want to be in that army, partly because I would love to do the work of angels, and partly because if you're in an army of angels, you're literally surrounded by angels all the time. Who does not want that to be, you know, where you're standing in life? I just love that imagery so, so much.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Is an army of angels the same as the Lord's battalion, I'm wondering?
Probably. I don't know why it wouldn't be. I don't know how all those military designations goes for who's part of what group, but it's gotta be, right? One aspect of that.
So true. Well, is there an example of, other than your mother, someone who has been an angel in your life, Rivka?
Yeah. When I was a long time ago in primary, when we still had things called Mary Miss, which was the older girls in primary. Mary Miss and the Blazers. The boys were Blazers.
Oh my God.
We had theme songs. You've heard the theme songs, Aaliyah. They're still in the primary, like the children's songbook. You just don't know
really?
That. But true.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So the song, I Will Follow God's Plan for Me. Do you know that one?
Yep.
Anyway, that was the Mary Miss song. So we, and honestly, it was just another name. It was the older girls. We had activities during the week. So it was, you know, activity days, but
right.
It's called Mary Miss. And my Mary Miss teacher was named Sister Bean. And she was so wonderful. She was the organist in our ward my whole life. In fact, like until recently, she still was. She just was the organist in our ward forever and ever and ever. And I have so many memories. It's so funny because I actually don't have that many memories of Sunday classes, but I have a lot of memories of our activities. And a lot of them were at her house. She taught us how to conduct music, and we did some cooking ones. And it was not the activities themselves, but her love was palpable. Always. And she loved all of us. She loved the girls who were struggling. She loved the girls who were goody two shoes. That was me. And she just, you know, always had this loving spirit about her. I don't have very good words to express this, I guess. But if you've had someone in your life like this, you know what I'm talking about. It was just, you always knew. The second she saw you, her eyes lit up. And that still happens, okay? So it's been like a long time, 30 years since I was that. And when I go home to visit my parents and go to my home ward, her eyes still light up and she gives me a hug and squeezes me and says, oh, I love my little Mary Miss girl. And we exchange Christmas cards every year. And so for her, like she just, to me, when I picture in my head the example of someone who is an angel that just goes about doing good and loving people, she is who I picture. Sweet Sister Bean.
That is amazing. And what an example of someone who truly magnified their calling. Mm-hmm. And probably not because she sat around and thought, how can I magnify my calling? But she just tried hard to love all those Mary Misses. So what a great story.
Yeah.
Aaliyah, in what ways, so we talked about people who were angels for us, in what way can we be angels for others?
I think part of the answer comes from one of the talks that we talked about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, where we talked about seeing people. I think we can...
Sister Craig.
Yes. I think we can try and be more personal with people and more loving. It also says in the talk that it's talking about converts, and he's kind of, after he tells his own story of how he, converted to the church and felt testimony start growing and got married eventually, he says that every one of them, talking about converts, needs three things: a friend, a responsibility, and nurturing with a good word of God. So depending on your position with a person, you can help them have a responsibility, you can nurture them with a good word of God, or you can just be a friend, or you can do all three. But those are the things that he specifically lists. And he gives examples of his life of what gave him those things. So like his seminary teacher helped him with the good word of God. And every single day he was able to be nurtured with that because of her. So she was an angel in his life in that way. And then I believe his one of his priesthood leaders gave him teaching assignments and assignments to teach in quorum meetings and home teaching and everything, even though he had a lot less experience than the other people. So in that way, his priesthood leader was an angel to him because he gave him responsibility. And then he talked about his wife, and he met her at, I believe, a youth conference. And she just became friends with him. And then he says that she was like one of the most important angels in his life. And eventually they got married. So yeah, I think those are the three things that we can do.
That's a fantastic synopsis. And of course you weren't born when President Hinckley talked about that, but I think I was a missionary when that quote came out as during a training or something like that. I don't remember the details, but man, what an impact that had to just be so clear about how we could help others in the gospel, be their friend, help them with a responsibility. And if you're in a setting of leadership, you can provide them a responsibility and nurture them with the good word of God. So what a great synopsis there.
Mm-hmm.
Rivka, did you have anything else to add about ways that we can be angels for others?
Well, you know, it's interesting when I think about angelic moments that I have had where I've been on the receiving end of it. A lot of times it is just someone who is in the right place at the right time that I know that the Spirit has led them to do something. And so I think if we are desirous and we are praying for opportunities and we're willing to act, there are probably multiple times a day that we can be angels to those around us. For me, it's not even like super specific things. It could be talking to someone in a line at a store, or listening when you run across someone who just needs to talk and maybe you're not feeling in the mood to listen, but you know, things like that, a hug when you can see someone struggling, or even when you don't see they're struggling, maybe you just see them and you say, "Hi, I'm so glad to see you." And you know, give them a hug if you're allowed. Sometimes that's not really allowed right now, but you can give them air hugs.
Air hugs, right? Elbow bumps. That's the thing in our ward right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My bishop does that to people on the way out the door. Elbow bumps.
Yeah. Anything that just, that makes someone feel important for that minute and noticed. Because I think that's what the Savior spent his whole life doing, was going around and doing, noticing people.
Right. So a willing heart, and sort of one of the implications there that you started with was attentive to the Spirit to guide you, and then an outward focus on the others around you. Going back to Sister Craig, you know, seeing others deeply, even to the point of, she said her story was talking to someone in a line, which you just referenced as well. So,
right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And all of it has to begin with prayer. Sorry. I think it has to begin with prayer, because if we're doing the work of angels, it's really just representative of, I mean, we're doing the Lord's work, you know, we're acting in his behalf. So it has to start with him. Where does he need us to be?
Right. Mm-hmm. Humility to go where he wants you to go.
In the talk, he actually says that the Lord knows who needs angelic help and that he will put them in our path. And so there are people out there who need angelic help, and they're in our path daily, it says in the talk. So you were along those lines, Rivka, of, you know, daily things that we can do. And it also says, I liked this part. It said, angels are needed right now. Angels who are willing to leave their comfort zone. And that that pretty much sums up all of my fears about ministering right there. Because a lot of times things that maybe are simple or easy to do, even if you see the need for them, sometimes it's just hard to do it because it feels a little weird sometimes to reach out to someone because you don't know if they want to be reached out to, or if they need it, or if you feel like you would be too like pushy or you know, in the way or something. I don't know. There's just a lot of unnecessary fears, and it's difficult to leave your comfort zone sometimes, but I think knowing that the Lord is putting people in our path daily is more of a motivation for me to step out of my comfort zone and think, maybe this person does need help because they're here and the Lord maybe put them there for me.
So true. That's such a good thought. And really, the gospel is, it really is administered one by one in a ministering fashion. So as a ward council this year, we are focusing on ministering one by one. We read that book by Elder Bednar, and it just had such a profound effect on how I see callings in the church. And in my current calling, it's so easy to stay in the comfort zone of all the people who are coming to me. There's a lot of people who are calling or coming for appointments or whatever the case may be. And of course, sometimes that's hard and challenging, and it takes effort and spiritual effort and time. But at the same time, it's sort of built in. I don't have to do anything. It just happens. They come to me, and then I, you know, work with them. And that book really helped me to focus outside of that and say, who's out there who needs me or someone else in the ward who needs that angelic ministration, who's not reaching out and who's in my path, and I'm ignoring them on my way to, you know, some other appointment. And of course, that does take that willing heart and listening to the Spirit and the willingness to see, you know, those around you. I think that's the challenge he leaves with us for this talk. and it starts a few paragraphs higher than Aaliyah was, where he says, brothers and sisters, would you be willing to be an instrument in the Lord's hands? Would you be willing to be one of those angels, to be an emissary sent from God, from this side of the veil, from someone he is worried about? He needs you. They need you. And then just above the part where Aaliyah was reading, he closes with, "I promise that if we are willing to serve, the Lord will give us opportunities to be ministering angels." So that's his challenge and promise, I think, to step outside of our comfort zones and really have a willing heart to be ministering angels to those around us. And I think also I would add, tying in with some of the other talks we've talked about, like throws bread and the Lord will do something unimaginable, maybe looking back and just recounting our blessings of those who were ministering angels to us, and even thinking on how they were examples to us and how we can emulate what they've done in our lives. So what a great talk, and what a great way to focus on those around us and see them by serving them. So Aaliyah, can you tell people how to get a hold of us?
Absolutely. We have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and our usernames on all of those are Words of the Prophets Podcast. We also have an email that's wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. We've been getting a couple of messages with really awesome insights from people who have been listening to the podcast. So we love it when you guys reach out and talk to us and share your thoughts. So feel free to do that.
Thanks, Aaliyah. And the next talk we're going to discuss is The Exquisite Gift of the Son by Matthew S. Holland. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.